Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 31st day of March 2010, USDA Report Day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He'll help us explore what happened in Chicago after the 7:30 release this morning of the USDA Prospective Plantings and Grain Stocks reports. Daryl Good will be here to take us through all the numbers and what he sees in them. There's some interesting viewpoints that you'll want to hear. And then we'll talk with Joe Persaki of USDA NASS. He was in lockup last night and will give us a behind-the-scenes look at that report right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. May futures from the wheat pit at 450.5, down 21.5 cents. July at 464, 21.25 lower. May corn at 345, down 9.5. July at 356.5, down 9.5. September at 366, down 8.75. December futures 376.25, down 7.5 cents. In the March, 388, down 7. May soybeans at 941, 33 lower. July at 950, down 30.75. August at 943.75, down 25.5. And September's at 926, down 17.5. November beans at $9.18, 8.5 lower. May bean meal at 265.80, down $17.30. July bean meal at 264.70, down 14.40. May oil at 38.31, down 36. July at 38.77, down 35. April live cattle futures 96.55, 50 cents higher on the day. The June at 93.55, up 37.5. April feeders at 110.42.5, up $1.70. The May up $2 at $1.12.97. That's 112.97. And the April lean hogs today at $73.32.5, up 27.5 cents. But the May futures were lower, down 22.5 cents at $80.62.5. But the lean hogs in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, nearby May contract, $83.55 a barrel, up $1.18. April ethanol at $1.54.7, 0.2 cents higher, rather 2 cents higher on the day. Natural gas at $3.87.4, down 9.9. Heating oil at $2.16.4, 3.9 higher. Gold futures at $1,113.30, up $8.80 on their settlement price per ounce. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,862, down just about 44 points at this hour. The U.S. dollar at 81.07 is currently down 0.38. And the Goldman Sachs for the afternoon now, trading at 529.14, is up 2.68 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. His last official weather forecast for us here at WILL and his regular programming on the day looks like this. He says tonight, partly cloudy. Lows will range from 46 in east central Indiana to 56 in west central Illinois. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, windy and warmer. Highs will range from 77 in northeastern Indiana to 83 in the southwestern part of Illinois. Dry, windy, warm weather will continue on Friday, continuing rapid drying rates and allowing for pre-planting in some fields that dry sufficiently will happen this week. A frontal system, though, will pass through Illinois and Indiana on Saturday. Periods of rain and some scattered thunderstorms will accompany that. Dry weather will return Saturday night and continue on Easter Sunday. Slightly cooler temperatures, says Mr. Kieser, are expected, but temperatures should remain, well, about average. Periodic showers and thunderstorms possible through the next week, with the greatest coverage and intensity of rain likely Tuesday afternoon into Tuesday evening. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City about more of the agricultural weather forecast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the way things played out in Chicago and how you saw the release this morning from USDA.
Well, I knew it was a problem with the government finding the extra soybeans, and I think that was notable, and also the extra corn. And the government did adjust have to adjust some things in the feed area, not as much feeding. You know, the cattle numbers are down, the hog numbers are down. They had to, in the past, with cheap corn, you know, we've always had more livestock demand and more corn and feeding to livestock, and they did go in and talk about the DDGs, with distillers dried grain, than this one. We do know that we did add 3 million more acres in corn and soybeans, but I think the six or eight major crops, we lost 1.4 million acres. This probably means that we're going to have a carryover this year now in corn between 1.9 to 1.950. Next year's corn carryover, probably 2.3 billion bushels. The bean carryover somewhere in the 215 to 220 now, and the next year's bean carryover around 650. Out of the last 6 years, in the 5 years, we've seen an increase of corn acres in the June report of an area between 1 to 2 million acres. The other thing is a lot of people feel that the next report in June, or when it's all said and done, we'll see 2 to 3 more million acres in corn and soybean production as a result of this. The big factor here is that there's a lot of unknown questions. What happened to the CRP acres? What happened to the wheat acres that didn't get planted last year? What happened to the 5.7 million acres of wheat? Will farmers change their mind between now and planting time? So there's a million questions here. I'd give them some good grades on maybe the supply-demand. I'd still give them a low grade, very low grade on the acreage. But, hey, there's a lot of things yet to come.
And there's a lot of things to count for. What does it mean in terms of follow-through? Do you think there's much left on the downside of this?
The good news is the stock market and crude oil. The bad news is that the demand side is horrible. We do have a lot of production coming in from South America. The weather is, we're going to have an early spring. It looks like we're farming in Iowa. We're going to get some corn planted in southern Illinois. I think the weather is going to be an early deal, and that means big yields in my book, if an early plant. I think the market actually acted pretty good, as much and as many people, in my opinion, we're in that bull spreads and beans, long new, long old, short new, and as much as the market was loaded up with long corn, you know, it acted pretty good in my opinion. I still think the market does have some lower prices work through.
Paul, thanks so much.
Have a nice day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at Stuart-Peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. USDA this morning, of course, released its prospective plantings and its grain stocks reports. Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I, is with us now to take a look at those numbers. Go through them for me first, please.
Just quickly, Todd, planting intentions on corn at 88.8 million acres, up 2.3 million from last year. Soybean intentions at 78.1, up 650,000 acres from what was planted last year. So I think both of those numbers were a little lower than the average trade guess, but it does reflect the increased availability of acres for spring planted crops.
And when you looked at those numbers, it was pretty easy to find it. They were in the wheat, and which disappeared in Kansas and Illinois dramatically.
Really, it did. We saw all winter wheat acres and intentions for spring wheat down 5.3 million acres. Intentions for oil seeds up 1.4, feed grains up 1.7, cotton up 1.4, a modest increase in rice, hay, and dry beans, and so that accounted for all of the decline in wheat acres. So unlike some of the prospective planting reports we've received in the past, this one seems to account for all of the acres that are out there. I don't think we have to wonder about will there be more acres showing up later on and which crops will they go to. I think this one pretty much accounts for all of the cropland acres.
And so you think it'll come out pretty much like this once we get to June maybe, or you know, depending on if the growing season starts out normally anyway?
Right. I think now we look at two things for any tweaks in these numbers. One, what kind of spring planting weather do we have? Late planting always leads to the belief that we'll get fewer early planted crops and more late planted crops. And then secondly, we'll look at relative prices to see if the market is changing the signals that it's giving to producers about which acres that are in demand for 2010. But unless we see some clear indications from weather or prices, these numbers should hold up pretty well.
So acreage up, but most in the trade were thinking they would be bigger than what was released by USDA today. Probably a positive in the market, but there was another report that wasn't. Well,
just to follow up on that acreage number, Todd, it makes some difference whether you look at soybeans and corn or whether you broaden the picture and look at oil seeds and feed grains, because we're not only seeing a 650,000-acre increase in intended soybean acres, but another 750,000 acres of other oil seeds. That's where we get the 1.4 million acres increase in oil seeds. So I think that paints a little more negative picture than just the soybean number alone. And in corn and feed grains, you see just the opposite picture, 2.3 million acres more corn, 600,000 less other feed grains for a net of only 1.7 million acres of feed grain. So you would have to argue that on the surface might be just a little bit more supportive than what the market is interpreting the report.
And then we get to the grain stocks reports.
Grain stocks, corn inventories at about 7.7 million billion bushels. That's 740 million more than on hand last year, and about 200 million more than the market was looking for. Soybeans at 1.27, that's down about 30 million bushels, but probably 60 to 70 million more than the market had anticipated.
And the market didn't like the numbers at all for the grain stocks, did they?
The market apparently did not like the stocks numbers because we're seeing the initial reaction with sharp declines in particularly old crop prices. I think there's some chance the market is misinterpreting particularly the soybean number. The number did come in 50, 60, 70 million bushels above expectations, but not because the crop was larger or that we used fewer soybeans than anticipated. It's really all in the residual disappearance of soybeans and how that fell out on a quarterly basis. We did see in the first quarter of the year an extremely large and unexplained residual use of soybeans. They weren't crushed, they weren't exported, but they disappeared. That was double what we would normally see during that quarter. And we knew that unless the crop was misestimated, that at some point we would see a negative number in the residual category. Typically that all gets corrected in the fourth quarter of the year. But what we did see this year is a negative residual disappearance during the second quarter that now makes the first half residual use of soybeans look normal, very reasonable. And the March 1 stocks number then really does not change the forecast of year-ending stocks of soybeans. That larger stocks didn't mean we're crushing fewer or exporting fewer soybeans than the market thought. It's just the quarterly rate of residual disappearance that's a little odd this year compared to a normal year. So a very large negative reaction. I think it's really not warranted by the stocks number. It may be a price decline that was coming anyhow because of the large South American crop, and I don't think we've fully reflected the implications of that. So I'm convinced lower soybean prices were on the horizon before this report, but I don't think this report in itself justifies a sharp sell-off in soybeans. It may be just accelerating an inevitable pattern that we were going to see anyhow, but it is a surprising reaction.
Surprising reaction, but one that I suppose in the long term appears to fit into the marketing place for the coming crop year and even for the end of the old crop year.
I think that's probably right. Now, on corn, I think what we look to the stocks number for is to calculate domestic feed and residual use of corn. And there's some odd things going on there as well, Todd. If you look in the period 1999 through 2006, feed and residual disappearance during the first half of the marketing year was in a pretty narrow range as a percentage of the total for the year, averaged about 64%. The last 2 years, disappearance during the first half of the year has been extremely large, averaging 69%. So the question is, what seasonal pattern are we following this year? If first quarter use was 64% of the total for the year, then we're feeding corn at the rate very close to projected by the USDA, 5.55 billion bushels. If first quarter use was really 69% of the total, as it was the last 2 years, then we're feeding at a rate 400 million bushels less than currently projected by USDA. We don't know yet what is the seasonal pattern. We really won't get another peek at this until we get the June stocks number. The market is implicitly assuming that we're following the same seasonal pattern as last year, so a big stocks number means feed use for the year is going to be sharply lower than previously projected, but not necessarily so.
Is there a reason for the 5% difference? I mean, and it appears to be front-loaded in the marketing year. Is there a reason that would have been the case the last 2 years and potentially not the case this year?
Yeah, that's the essence of the question. Why were we so heavily front-end loaded the last 2 years and when we weren't historically that way? One potential answer, at least partially, is that it's the rate at which we're increasing corn use for ethanol, that as we're increasing over time, then year over year, the percentage increases are larger in the last half of the year than in the first half. So you're getting more distillers in the second half of the year, which then has substituted for corn. So that would line up with 07 and 08 pattern. But I'm hard-pressed for that to explain the entire shift in the seasonal pattern. It may explain part of it, but I can't really compute that it explains all of it. So there's still a bit of a mystery until we get the June stocks number.
Darryl, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
Darryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Joe Persaki joins us from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. He spent last night in lockup waiting for the prospective plantings and grain stocks reports to be released at 7:30 a.m. this morning. And when those came out, as we already know, they were fairly bearish. Joe, why don't you tell me about the reaction inside USDA when you gave those numbers to the secretary today?
Well, the thing is, when we talk to the secretary, you know, we give him, you know, the acres of corn, you know, the 88.8 million acres of corn. And then, you know, he takes, in this case, we had, who do you have at this time? We had Deputy Undersecretary Michael Skuse. He's with FFAS, that's the Farm and Foreign Ag Service Mission Area. And he's the one that actually represented the secretary today. You know, and he's taking notes and stuff. And then we showed... And also, you know, what trade expectations, you know, the published estimations out there that, you know, the people in the trade were looking, you know, between 87 and, you know, 91 million acres or so on corn, and we came in at 88.8, you know, so that's, you know, that's kind of right in the ballpark, you know, and they, you know, and the chief economist took some notes, and then we moved on to soybeans, and, you know, we're looking at that 78.1 million acres, which is a record, you know, record planted area. It's a big crop. And it's in, well, again, it's also within the range of the published trade expectations as well. So, I mean, you know, did they you know, hold their breath and say, oh, my gosh, no, not really. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, here's the numbers, okay. You know, and then we'll go, you know, go down the pipe. The chief economist asked Jerry Bangu, who's the chair of the World Board, you know, what does this mean? And he says, well, it's a big crop coming up, but we still got quite a bit of stocks from last year. What are we going to deal with? So, and that, those are facts, and it's pressuring the market, I guess.
Yeah, in the PDF file that you sent out to most of the reporters today and some others, I suppose, I was looking at some of the acreage changes, and really it appears that there were an awful lot of wheat acres that simply disappeared of all types. Soft red winter wheat, for instance, in Illinois, down 500,000. For the hard red in Kansas, down 700,000. And then you can make that back up pretty quickly just by looking at the corn and the soybean numbers.
Yeah, we pointed out when Lance Honig, who's our chief of the cross branch, you know, when he did the briefing of the secretaries, he says, you know, you see these acres, you know, overall up on corn, overall up on beans. Why? Well, and you're exactly right. When you look at winter wheat, it's like, you know, Illinois, you know, it's down to 350,000 acres there, and it's the record low. 2 years ago, Illinois had, you know, we had over a million acres. It's like 1.2 million acres, you know, just 2 years ago. And it's, you know, combination of poor weather last fall. It's actually two falls in a row, you know, there in Illinois. And then, you know, wheat prices, you know, not, you know, attractive. But then that comes, that impacts in, you know, double crop acres and such. And what are those acres going to be? So, you know, we're looking at record lows for winter wheat in a bunch of states, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, that's the, you know, on the soft red side. In Nebraska, it's a record low on the hard red side.
And that is Joe Persaki. He's the director of the crops division at NASS. One other report to talk about that came out at 2 o'clock Central Time this afternoon, the cash rent report. You can find it on the USDA website. It's actually only published there at nass.usda.gov. Scroll down and click on cash rents. It's a county link. Here's some of the numbers from this part of the world. Average cash rent in Champaign is reported by producers, 205, in Christian, 206, DeWitt at 183, Douglas at 186, Edgar, 163, Iroquois, 171, Livingston County cash rents at 163, and in McLean County, a 208 average cash rent. You can find that on the website for the USDA at nass.usda.gov. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The city investigation into last fall's death of a Champaign teenager at the hands of police is nearing a conclusion, but Champaign City Attorney Fred Stabens says there's no timetable for releasing the findings of a two-man team that's been looking into the way police reacted when they found 15-year-old Kwan Carrington and another youngster trying to break into a Vine Street house. Carrington was shot and killed during a scuffle with Officer Daniel Norbitz. The state police investigation concluded that Norbitz and Chief R.T. Finney were not criminally liable in the case, but a civil lawsuit remains outstanding. Former Urbana Police Chief Eddie Adair and retired McLean County Judge John Fries have been poring over evidence and interviews and may suggest changes in police policy. The University of Illinois Extension Service could decide to close its 12 centers with a potential budget cut of over $5.5 million. Officials hope to protect county-level offices as some operations could be moved into those facilities or even to employees' homes. Spokesman Gary Beaumont says the service is trying to find ways to save money without cutting programs. The U of I announced a financial review of extension operations this week. It's looking at a series of departments as it deals with cuts in state support. Beaumont says extension plans and detailing its decisions on cuts at the end of next week. Illinois budget problems go far beyond state government. Cities, counties, and school districts around the state face serious money problems as well, and many are laying off employees. Layoffs have hit deputy sheriffs in Iroquois County and zookeepers in Springfield. Librarians in Rockford were cut, and so were transit workers in Chicago. Teachers are the biggest target. Districts are sending out notices warning employees that they may not have a job in the coming school year. 20,000 teachers could be on the chopping block. Local officials blame the cuts on a combination of declining tax revenue and state government's failure to pay its bills on time. A spokeswoman for Decatur Schools says cuts at the district should have a minimal impact on classroom instruction. 48 teaching assistants, 18 of them in special education, are losing their jobs amid more than $7 million in budget cuts. District spokeswoman Debbie Alexander says the staff has been preparing for such a move since last August. Other teaching positions will be cut through retirement over the next few years. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. With us from the great nation of Canada today is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Yeah, Todd. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you across country borders now.
Absolutely. So the weather there, I don't know what you're like today, but it's just beautiful here today, and farmers probably are hoping that it will stay this way, or at least warm and windy for several more days. Will they get their wish?
Well, they will for a little while. It's not something that's going to be a permanent feature, that's for sure. I mean, we need to enjoy it while we can. We do have another 24 hours worth of pretty pleasant conditions across the region, a lot of breezes, like you said, and not much in the way of significant precipitation. As we go into I imagine Thursday night into Friday morning we'll have an influx of some cloud cover, and the humidity will start to rise, and so it'll be a little less perfect. But we really don't have any rain of significance coming in until Saturday, and so for that reason there should be some good drying across the region, an opportunity to work some fields that have managed to drain quickly. Now, we did get quite a bit of rain the past week in some areas, so it's not like we're going to see widespread aggressive field work for a while. But nevertheless, we're on the right road. But the rains that come up here for this Friday night into Saturday will probably generate, I would imagine, 0.3 to 1 inch of moisture, perhaps some localized areas picking up on about 1.5 inches. I'm talking about Illinois specifically. As this line of storms moves eastward, it will diminish quite a bit. So Indiana and especially Ohio will see a lot less precipitation. In fact, some areas in Ohio will either be left completely dry or will have less than 0.3 of an inch of moisture. Same will be true for eastern parts of Kentucky.
Okay, and then if you take a look at the western part of the growing area into Iowa, Nebraska, parts of Minnesota, how will their growing season begin?
Well, they're going to have a little bit more of a tough go here. We've only talked about this one storm system, but really we're talking in generalities. This is going to be a pattern we'll see fairly often over the month of April and probably into early May. And that pattern is going to produce a lot of rain frequently across the plains and the western Corn Belt areas from eastern Nebraska and portions of eastern Kansas through portions of Missouri and Iowa right up into southeastern Minnesota and Wisconsin. We'll see the highest frequency of rainfall, and the greatest concerns over the spring planting progress will probably be in that corridor. I don't want to imply that it's going to rain every day forever and that that's going to be a major problem, but they're going to have a whole lot more trouble getting the crops in the ground in that corridor relative to the Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky region. And one of the other things that I think we need to point out here also is that all this warm air we've got right now across the region is not an omen for what's coming up. And I think that a lot of us want to believe that, oh, we're going to have a much warmer year and we're going to be dealing with problems with moisture shortages. But I think that's probably not quite the case, especially not in the western Corn Belt. I think that we're going to be moving back into cooler weather in the latter half of April and see a lot of it in May off and on. And so we're not going to be completely in the clear. But that western Corn Belt, including Kansas, chances in Missouri. We'll be a part of that process of having a lot of cloudiness, wet weather, and some cooler biases during the at least the heart of the spring season.
Drew, thank you so much for taking the time today. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated, located the businesses in Kansas City, Missouri. He today joined us from Canada. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.